We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music.
Pop culture. LGBT plus news. Oh. Let's go there. Starts now.
Okay, happy Tuesday. What's going on? We got a big show coming up for y'all.
Oh, we sure do. I'm actually very, very excited about it. Honestly, you should too, because it's our relationship show today.
Yeah. Like, we've got sexologist Shan Booty joining us. She's also a social media star. She has a new book coming out, and she has just such an interesting story going from having her now husband was her friends with benefits.
Yeah, and I'm interested even to find out if she even, like, if they even call each other, like, husband and wife. It's, like, more of a partnership. It's very unconventional, their relationship, and I feel like we'll be able to learn so, so much from them and so much more.
Also, something that everyone's talking about here at the office, and maybe you're talking about it wherever you are with your friends and sharing it on text, this face app that makes you look old. There's this app that is filter, that it's trending, it's going viral, where you basically download this face app, it's called Face App, and then you put your picture there, or you take a picture, and then they have an old filter. And let me tell you, it's like that artificial intelligence technology makes you look like you're really old and like in a real scary way.
I mean, it seemed like when we just downloaded it, it seemed like you were like freaking out about it. Is there something about getting old that you're afraid of?
I think that life and getting old is kind of something that I'm trying to take in, and it is scary. At the same time, I'm not scared, but then seeing myself, like, you guys all looked cute old, and I feel like I looked like I was dying old.
I mean, you may have looked like you smoked 7 Newports a day.
Like, some people that posted on social media looked glamorous and, like, beautiful. And so I was really excited until I did mine. So just
maybe
beware.
Maybe that's a future question of the day. Are you afraid of getting old?
Yeah.
That could be an interesting moment.
Let's
but
do it.
I get it, because I understand. But, you know, for me, I'm not afraid of getting old, because they always say black don't crack. And I get it, though. And I already also feel like I'm 65 inside of my body. So I feel like, oh, that picture is an actual real representation of how I feel inside.
Okay. When you're 65, tell me if you actually felt that when you were 25. You'll be like, I don't know why I even said that.
No, I feel like I'm still going to say that. My big fear is like not feeling like I missed out on stuff when I was younger. Whatever. That's a whole other conversation.
Wow, we're getting existential FOMO happening.
Sure.
Okay, what's trending in the news right now happening? Top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. A man won $1.5 million in a discrimination suit against the former governor of Iowa. A jury found that former state official Chris Godfrey was illegally discriminated against by then-governor Terry Branstad for being gay. Godfrey said this about the verdict: "This is a win for me, and it's a win for the entire gay community in Iowa. And shows that we have sexual orientation in the Civil Rights Act in Iowa for a reason, and nobody, not even Terry Branstad, is above the law." Now, this whole thing was crazy because when, Branstad started his term in 2011, he immediately tried to get rid of Godfrey, and this is according to the lawsuit. The state law gave Godfrey a 6-year term the governor couldn't rescind, so instead he, like, basically cut his pay. He gave him the lowest salary allowed by the state for his position, and then pushed him into a place that he eventually had to resign. He felt pressured to resign. And then he eventually sued, saying that Branstad targeted him for being gay. Even though Branstad said that Godfrey's sexual orientation, he didn't know about it before the lawsuit happened. So an interesting turn of events, but we're happy that, Chris Godfrey here came back on top.
You know, speaking of jury, I just got called for jury.
No,
duty.
You did not. You're just
did.
Telling us this now?
I know. I just remember.
What do you do? Are you going to do it?
I have no clue. Well, I have to do it.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Well, I have to go to the thing. This is my first time ever doing it, so I'm very freaked out about it. I hope they like excuse me for being like, I don't know, to me.
Too biased, probably.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, no, I don't like that.
Just
know.
Say
I have to
you're
make an
woke.
Excuse. Yeah, I'm too woke. I'm like very Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to be brought on. Okay. Speaking of racism.
Oh, ethnicities. Yeah, that's a good segue.
What's your ethnicity? Kellyanne Conway asked a reporter Andrew Feinberg this when questioned about Trump's recent comments around Congresswomen and how they should go back to where they came from.
No, because I'm asking you a question. My ancestors are from Ireland.
Wait.
Why
is that relevant?
No, because I'm asking you a question. My ancestors are from Ireland and Italy.
My ancestry is not relevant to the question.
He's saying my ancestry is not relevant to the question. I mean,
well, yeah, because she randomly brought it up when they were talking about, you know, Trump's racist tweets this past weekend, and she asked the reporter, "What's your ethnicity? Like, what does that have to do with anything? How does that affect my?" And it honestly, reminded me of gays on Grindr, and they're asking, "Oh, what race are you?" They always do that.
But then also it's a way of just like not answering the question. Like, let's put it back on you. And then later Conway tweeted, this was meant with no disrespect. Now, next story on what's trending in the news, the Justice Department, this is really big. Everyone's talking about it, will not bring federal charges against a New York City police officer over the death of Eric Garner.
And of course, the decision was made by William Barr.
Yes, which continues to put him in the spotlight in not a good way. Of course, the death of Eric Garner ignited nationwide protests 5 years ago. We're going to dive into that verdict that is happening right now and a lot of responses coming up on What's Trending in the News right here on Let's Go There.
Let's Go There. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, new Channel Q.
Okay, so Attorney General William Barr is back in the headlines for a very controversial decision not to bring federal civil rights charges against the New York Police Department officer accused of fatally choking Eric Garner. Now, this was a big story 5 years ago, and they had 5 years to make the decision. Of course, they just made it on the cusp of, you know, their deadline, basically. And now we've got Richard Fowler joining us again, Fox News contributor and from Fowler Nation, to break this story down and all the reactions happening right now. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. It's good to see you. It's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
What a day.
I mean, what a day. And what a it's already so tragic what happened. And then it just like adds to it with the fact that it seems like no one will be punished around this. And an officer who obviously did something wrong.
No, for sure. And what makes this story so interesting is that it took so long for this to happen. And let's be very clear. The Obama administration did leave this decision on the table, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a decision that could have been made during the Obama administration that was not made. And so the Garner family did indeed wait. And it was told, we found out today from reporting from various outlets, that this decision was actually made by the Attorney General directly, that there will not be a federal prosecution against the officer that choked Eric Garner to death. And now there's no more legal remedies left for this family.
Yeah.
The only remedy that is left for this family is for this officer to be fired from the New York Police Department. And that decision will be left on the New York Police Department commissioner.
So, Richard, the interesting thing about this, because obviously I don't think we're going to be seeing that officer getting fired anytime soon, but it's interesting who really kind of is...
I think that's a good point.
It's interesting who's really kind of actually feeling the consequences for this. Like, this man by the name of Ramsey Orta, he actually filmed the death of Eric Garner, and he's actually being punished 4 years up in prison. And is currently in solitary confinement. What does this say about our current social, like our justice system, and how basically screwed up it is when it comes to who's getting charged and punished and who isn't?
Well, I mean, we've already known this. This is something that we know. We've known. We've seen it. I mean, I think it's very telling that the day where Eric Garner's family finds out this decision, the Emmys announces that. When they see us get 16 Emmy nominations for the performance of those actors portraying the Central Park Five, right? And that was in the early 1990s. And this is today, and yet still we have a justice system that is two different justice systems: one for the rich and wealthy and white, and one for everybody else.
Right.
And this is just what it is. I mean, I wish I had another answer for you.
And the city of New York did settle with Garner's estate for $5.9 million in 2015, but still it goes back to this idea that when you watch this video, according to Barr, who made the decision, he said he viewed the video showing Garner's takedown several times and quizzing both groups of attorneys, and that he finally made the decision that he didn't, he could not successfully prove, or that, you know, they could not successfully prove the officer acted willfully. What does that even mean?
Well, that is a good question. I mean, I've watched this video, it is hard as it is to watch, and it's very clear after watching this video that this young man is yelling, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and yet still this officer pursues a chokehold, which by NYPD standards is an illegal chokehold, which is what makes this even more heartrending, is that this chokehold has been rendered illegal by New York City, by the state of New York.
Also, yeah. Something I want to point out is, obviously, I don't know the history when it came to the body cams, or if they were fully in effect in 2014, but I want to know, especially now with body cams being basically are supposed to be on every police officer, is that really going to change anything? Is that, do you feel like that's enough for officers to feel like they can't just, you know, take advantage of their power?
Well, I mean, we've heard a lot of things. Now, I mean, I'm a big proponent of body cameras, but I've also heard, and I think it's a very valid argument, that now a lot of times body cameras are now being utilized by police officers to basically convict people of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, I think that this is a very interesting conundrum that we're in. And now more than ever, I think what we should be fighting for, beyond having body cameras, is we should also be fighting to have citizen review boards all across this country, that there's actually citizens that are reviewing these decisions that are being made by the police. And one of the best examples of this is in Alexandria, Virginia, where every time there is a use of force, that use of force is turned over to a citizen review board, and that citizen review board determines whether or not that was a rightful use of force or not.
Yeah, it might make them rethink how they take action in the future, the police officers. Well, Richard Fowler, thanks again for being here with us. You can find Richard on Fox News and Fowler Nation on social media.
Thanks for having me.
Now we're moving from what's trending in the news to top stories in pop culture and entertainment. What's the tea?
Yeah, so coming up, we got a lot to dive into. So today we're going to jump into today's Emmy nominations and Netflix's big change after 2 years to one episode on the hit show 13 Reasons Why. It's very controversial. We're getting into all that and more in 6 minutes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're back with What's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture Stories of the Day. Now, let's get into the Emmy noms, because that has been taking over all of social media today. And it's been awesome because, you know, some of your favorite shows are kind of back in. I mean, but Game of Thrones, of course, picked up a leading 32 nominations for, you know, their final season, mm-hmm. of course. Our favorite Pose got nominated alongside with Killing Eve, Succession, which is a very good show on HBO, and NBC's This Is Us also picked up a handful of nominations. Billy Porter actually is the first gay male to be nominated in a lead actor in a drama series for his role in Pose.
Wow.
Drama series, of course, like I said, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, and Pose all are slaying it. I'm super excited also because we love the Netflix show Special. It was Ryan O'Connell.
Yeah.
Netflix Specials actually was nominated for 3 Emmys in the short form categories, Outstanding Comedy or Drama Series, and 2 Outstanding Actress nominees for Ryan's character's best friend, Panam, and Jessica Hike. They swept the Emmy nomination. So I just wanted to briefly talk about that because it can get, you know, very high level and be like industry stuff, but it's like really exciting because I'm a fan of television and all of my favorite shows got picked up.
Forgot one of mine.
What?
Amazon Prime's Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I was going to briefly mention it, of course.
I love that show. But you haven't watched that show, really.
No, I haven't watched it yet. I just actually got Amazon Prime. I just watched Fleabag, which also...
That's like that speaks very close to my heart.
Fleabag is an incredible show. If you have not seen it, you should really, really dive into it. But, you know, speaking of kind of like streaming networks, streaming services, Netflix, they actually had a big announcement where they altered a scene in the big suicide scene in 13 Reasons Why, the one that really drummed up a lot of controversy. Well, the nearly 3-minute-long scene has been altered 2 years after its debut and ahead of the forthcoming return. So like I said, more than 2 years that Netflix decided to cut the scene or kind of edit the scene instead of showing the super graphic scene that they once aired. They went on to say, we've heard many young people that 13 Reasons Why encouraged them to start conversations about difficult issues like depression and suicide and get help. Often for the first time, as we prepare to launch season 3 later this summer, we've been mindful about the ongoing debate around the show. So on the advice of medical experts, they basically have started, they've decided to edit the scene in which Hannah, one of the characters, takes her own life from season 1.
Yeah, and I'm interested to get your thoughts, and I'm, you know, on that, because I feel like part of that is like, I get it, it's a hugely sensitive issue.
Yeah.
But it there's something about the, obviously, the, and it's not, it's the art of it, and also telling the story, a raw look at what that is like.
Yeah.
And that fine balance of sharing something real around an issue and the importance of media and specifically entertainment to do that, to shed a light on these things.
Yeah.
And then censoring and limiting it to so teens in that age group don't see it, even though it's always going to be there. And that's why what's her name's show, Zendaya's show, I think, has gotten so much attention, is because it's a real look of what it's like to be a teenager. So but like, at what point do you show that and say, we're going to put the mirror against what's actually happening? And if it's uncomfortable, then ask yourself, why do you feel uncomfortable? Versus, you know, creating these edits.
So I'm kind of on the fence with this, because the scene, and if you guys aren't familiar, if you haven't seen the show, trigger warning for everyone, it depicted Catherine Langford's character, Hannah. She's basically assessing her life in the mirror, and before she actually, you know, decides to sit in the bathtub, and she takes a razor blade and does the act, and it's very graphic. It does show it.
Very graphic.
When I initially saw it for the first time, when I watched the show, it really did kind of bother me. It made me very uncomfortable. But there's something about watching a show that touches that emotional part of you, where it really sits there. You have to ask yourself, why am I so uncomfortable?
That's
seeing
what I'm saying.
This? And so for me, I really, seeing this news, I unfortunately hate that they took it out. I think it's something that, of course, I know they got it's a very triggering thing for a lot of people, but I think it was important to see. I think it's important to witness kind of the ongoing, what takes and what all kind of is considered in a moment like that. There was something that was so raw about seeing someone that was willing to take their life in the contemplating of that all.
Yeah, and of course I'm looking to the other side, from the expert and the organizations who do this on a daily basis, and the doctors, and then people who've gone through their families or their friends and loved ones who've been through that, how it could be looked at as insensitive.
Yeah.
And irresponsible, knowing how people could look at that and the copycat or the psychological effects of it.
Yeah, well, the controversial, obviously the conversations with experts helped inform Netflix's decision to alter the footage. The new clip is designed to carry the same emotional impact of Hannah's death, though it does make Walsh's reaction that much more important. The move has drawn so much support from the American Association of Suicidology, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and so many more, especially the Trevor Project. The above organizations teamed up for a joint statement backing Netflix's edit. So I don't know. Will other shows do this? Is this going to be something where, if it's not on, you know, an HBO or you would think a Netflix's platform is supposed to show the raw edits. It's not supposed to be censored because it's not on network television. It's supposed to have that ability to really go there. And now it seems like, oh, we're, you know, putting even Netflix, a streaming service like that, in a box. So I don't know. It's interesting to see what's going to happen moving forward, especially in the new season. Let us know your thoughts. Hit us up on social media at We Are Channel Q. We have so much more coming up with What's the Tea, because if you thought Sex and the City was ever going to get another, you know, another movie, Sex and the City 3, don't expect Kim Cattrall to be in the film. Find out what she has to say about never returning to the franchise. That is coming up in 7 minutes.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so everyone, of course, is a huge fan of the Sex and the City, like, franchise.
Yeah.
Me, I never jumped into it, but I knew of its relevance and I knew how powerful it was. And of course, I've seen the movies. Like, I've seen, like, Sex and the City 2 and, like, Sex and the City 1.
Yeah, that show, honestly, anytime it's on repeat somewhere, like, on a network or on a plane, it just, I love watching it. For me, it's such nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I connect
people,
with it.
I think it's really the connection when people ask you, like, oh, who are you? Like, are you a Miranda? Are you a, who else? A Samantha?
Yeah, I feel I want to be. I like the writer person. I like the main. What's Sarah Jessica Parker?
That's
Carrie.
Carrie.
You feel like you're Carrie?
I feel like I could be a Carrie.
Okay. Okay.
Except
I would
the
like
fashion
to be a
thing.
Samantha.
That's producer Vanessa.
I feel like you said I told you I was a Carrie before, and you're like, but your fashion sense.
Yeah.
But I don't look at just as fashion. It's just more like her creativity, her whimsical. Like she always had this.
No, but Carrie was a fashion girl. I mean, she was a fashion writer,
icon.
Wasn't she?
No, she was a date. That's the whole thing. Sex in the City. She had a column about sex and relationships.
But even in the movies, though, she started knowing all these super famous.
It's more she's obsessed with fashion.
Well, that's a huge point of who she is.
She writes about relationships.
I know. Okay. So anyway, well, you see how excited we just got. Well, I guess we should not be excited anymore because you thought Sex and the City was ever going to get greenlit. Do not expect Kim Cattrall to be in it. So
she played the sex fiend.
Yeah, she was a publicist. I would say the publicist.
She wasn't
a sex fiend.
She
was in control of her sexual energy.
Yes, I loved it.
Well, in a recent interview with Daily Mail, she confirmed that she will not appear in any future film installments based off of the HBO drama series. So when asked if she'll ever star in another film, she said never. It's a no from me. She says, you learn lessons in life, and my lessons is to do work with good people and try and make it fun. And of course, you know, that was some shade because she has, you know, of course, spoken out negatively about her time on Sex and the City in the past years, including the comments where she claimed that she's never going to be friends with her co-star Sarah Jessica Parker, Kristen Davis, and Cynthia Nixon. However, the target of the majority of her shade has been as Sarah Jessica Parker. Now, although there has been a few, like a rumors, a feud between Parker and Cattrall before, the beef really took off after Cattrall did an interview with Piers Morgan back in 2017 and said Parker could have been nicer to her. And then when Cattrall's brother died unexpectedly in February 2018, you know, Sarah tried to reach out to her former co-star and offer her condolences. But, of course, Cattrall then went off on Parker in another Instagram post where she said, my mom asked me today, when will that Sarah Jessica Parker, that hypocrite, leave you alone? Your continuous reaching out is a painful reminder of how cruel you really were then and now.
Oh my God.
So
this is intense.
All this drama has kind of unfolded, you know, it's followed Sarah Jessica Parker's announcement that Sex and the City 3 officially wasn't going to happen. You know, SJP just continued to say, I'm disappointed. We had this beautiful, funny, heartbreaking, joyful, very relatable script and story. It's not just disappointing that we don't get to tell the story and have that experience, but more so for the audience that has been so vocal in wanting another movie. Which is, I mean, the drama there, honey. I feel like, I don't know if I feel really believe Cattrall. I don't really think, Sarah Jessica Parker doesn't give me Mean Girl.
I think anything's possible.
True.
That's not true.
But she doesn't give me
She definitely gives, I felt like she gave me the vibe, that she was cool or just one of those, like, nice.
Yeah.
She doesn't, though, look like you feel like if you saw her, you'd be like, wow, I could come up to her and just talk about anything.
I have seen her in person before. I remember when I was working in fashion, I was backstage at a fashion show, and she walked in, and I literally, one, she's a lot shorter than you probably ever imagined. And then, two, I felt like she was walking and floating on air. It was the most beautiful experience where I was like,
what? Was she nice to you? That's a big question.
No, she was nice. She was amazing. She was so sweet. Everyone like said hi, and she said hi. She spoke. I always thought she was an incredible person. I don't know, but what are your thoughts? Are you sad that there's not going to be a Sex and the City 3? Hit us up on wearechannelq.com. Let us know, and keep following us on social media at wearechannelq.
Just don't do a reboot, please.
I mean, no, there can't be a reboot of that. That one's too iconic.
Well, why you might not want to use lip gloss on your lips this summer, that's coming up on What's Trending in the News, top of the hour, 9 minutes.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Here's what's trending in the news, top of the hour. A former teacher has said her school banned an LGBT graphic novel created to honor and raise funds for the victims of the 2016 Pulse nightclub shooting. Anna Waugh, who used to teach English at Irving High School near Dallas, said the English faculty had decided to create a, quote, social justice graphic novel unit based on the interests of our students in 2018. And then she said what followed was the sudden removal of all six novels from the unit because of one LGBT-themed text. This was followed by silence from leadership, an eventual cover-up by the district, and a new policy gatekeeping teacher-selected materials. Now, the graphic novels had been chosen to cover issues relevant to the students, including bullying, abuse, child labor, violence, and bigotry, things that students should be talking about and knowing about, at least, you know, positive conversations around that to help them learn what to do. Now, in a committee meeting, an issue was reportedly made over the Pulse book Love is Love, also because of its extreme homosexuality. The graphic novel, meanwhile, became a New York Times bestseller, and it contained no explicit sexual content, which kind of brings back this whole idea of the policing in schools of all the stuff and how we want to teach and educate children about all these other issues that they're going to face or they're currently facing. But if it's uncomfortable for certain people who don't support those issues or rights or communities, then they're going to censor.
There's data that shows that LGBTQ youth are more comfortable when they're being taught, and even not like non-LGBTQ youth, everyone in bullying, all that stuff goes down once there's history being taught, when there's things about the LGBTQ culture that is kind of being integrated into school systems. It's normalizing it. So it's unfortunate that this is happening.
And the book actually raised $165,000. Sales went to donate to the victims of the shooting. So at least something good came of it, but it's unfortunate that it was taken away from a school where students could have really used a lot of that to learn themselves. Now, R. Kelly was arrested in Chicago last Friday. We talked about this on What's Trending in the News, and is now facing a roster of charges, including a 13-count federal indictment that includes child pornography, enticement of minors, and obstruction of justice's charges. But there's been some confusion about the status of two women, Jocelyn Savage and Azriel Clary, who had been living with Kelly before his arrest. They're also featured in the R. Kelly docuseries. Now, over the weekend, The Blast reported that Savage and Clary were kicked out of their residence at the Trump International Hotel and Tower, Chicago, and told to find another place to stay as federal agents seized the room. But in a video obtained by TMZ and published in the early hours yesterday, Clary and Savage say they are still at the Trump and reiterate that they are staying with Kelly by choice, no matter what happened, or if he's still arrested and in prison. Clary claims they are free to come and go whenever they like, and Savage says her parents are aware of her location.
Yeah, we're here at the Trump, and, you know, Joy's parents are all over social media.
Yeah, they know where I'm at.
Yeah, we've been here at the Trump, you know, we've been here for years. We move freely, we come and go freely. We actually just left out this morning, and nobody said anything to us. You know, no one stopped us, no one, you know, harassed us or anything like that. So we just wanted to clear that up and let you guys know that that is fake news, and do not believe everything that you hear.
Now, one of these girls, you know, has been manipulated to, I'm not saying that, I assume, knows what to say to the media. She's like on it. And the other girl, which in even the previous news interviews, is like next to her, like, I don't want to be in this position right now. Right?
Yeah.
It's awkward. It's an awkward situation to watch these interviews with them.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So best of luck to those two ladies, because it seems like they're still under his spell.
I mean, sending them best of luck, but honestly, you can take a horse to the river and they won't drink if they, you know, you can't force them.
Yep. So we'll continue to report more about R. Kelly and him continuing to plead his that he is not guilty and that he is innocent. It's like the never ending story. Now, a dermatologist is revealing the dangers of using shiny products and no SPF on your lips in the summer. And what could happen is everything from severe burn to skin cancer. Listen up, because a lot of us use lip glosses and things on our lips throughout the year, but also in the summer. New York-based skin expert Dr. Whitney Bowe spoke to DailyMail.com about why it's important to wear SPF on your lips during the summer. She explained that many people neglect to use a special SPF lip balm and think that wearing a normal lip balm or lip gloss is fine to do in the sun. But it's not, because it can cause burning and you can even develop skin cancer, including melanoma, as a result. So she said that wearing any shiny lip gloss and non-SPF lip balms can increase that risk. So fine ones with SPF, please.
I mean, can you imagine getting a sunburn on your lips like that? You can't even kiss. You can't do nothing.
Yeah, I guess, if you're sensitive.
I've never had a sunburn, so I don't
even
know.
Even if
that
you haven't
like.
Got a sunburn, just protect yourself.
Oh, of course. Well, I know. But
I want to see your SPF lip gloss, Ryan.
I don't wear lip gloss, first of all.
All right, whatever you wear. That was what's trending in the news, top of the hour, right here on Let's Go There. Coming up in 8 minutes, we've got sexologist Shan Booty joining us. So stay tuned for that.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we have someone very
you
special.
You can never just wait
studio.
For our intro.
Yeah, because we've got some new intros here, and I'm not used to it. Anyway, Shan Booty is joining us in the studio right now.
Shan Booty with the booty.
Yes, she's known
That's a lie. Don't false advertise.
Oh, come on. If it's bigger than mine, it's better than mine.
I don't know if that's mine. True, Shira.
Girl,
we have to have
you
a booty
just,
off.
You
first of all,
you
anything is
pictures.
Bigger than Shira's.
But Shan also...
Our front is bigger than Shira's.
Yes!
No, Shan also takes amazing angled pictures. So, like, we'll talk about...
You gotta know the curves. You gotta know your angles. It's all about that.
Let me introduce Shan. She's an intimacy expert sexologist. She has a new book out called The Game of Desire, 5 Surprising Secrets to Dating with Dominance and Getting What You Want, on sale and out July 23rd, coming up very soon. Welcome to the show.
That's a great intro, Shira. It was highly pleasurable. Thank you. Hearing you even read the book title, Getting What You Want.
Yes. I'm feeling it. I was like, all right. So you have such an interesting background, and I've come to know you on social media, but you have this very amazing blend of being like a social media star and but also really having an expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not just pretending here.
Right. I'm not just pretending.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was, I wouldn't reveal that right now. I would just keep pretending.
Why
that
not?
Would be part
we
of
love
it.
But you studied
lines.
It.
Keep up with the lie.
But you studied
yes,
all this.
Yes. I went to school for journalism, and then I became a sex education counselor in Canada through the University of Toronto. I moved to California in 2014 and got an associate in sex education. Mm-hmm. And then I got certified as a sexologist in 2016. And as a matter of fact, I'm going back to school in the fall for behavioral psychology.
Woof.
That's where we're
that
at.
That is hot.
We likes to learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it only helps you legitimize what you're doing.
Exactly.
And also learning new techniques and new studies that are out, especially about your field.
To be super honest, the best education I've gotten is from these conversations.
Yeah.
Just talking to people, learning, hearing what they're into. School's definitely been helpful and supplemental and gives you resources, but it's having the conversations with real people and learning about their sex lives, their intimate lives. Like, that's what's been my greatest education.
Yeah. And through your social media and YouTube channel, you've also shared a lot about your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fascinated. I know you, but
and you
I
just shared a lot about your sex life with me.
I know, off
so.
Air, but I do it on air too all the time. Anyway, it's not about me, it's about you, this interview. But you recently got married.
I did recently get married.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I mean, in the wedding photos,
yeah.
I die.
They're a beautiful couple.
They were beautiful.
Yeah.
I almost cussed. They were beautiful.
Our concept for the wedding photos was doing things that we do every day.
Yeah.
So whatever was in our area, the grocery store, going for hikes, playing tennis, which we're big tennis players. And so it was like wedding photos. Usually it's like us on a cliff, like doing things we would never do. So our idea was like, why don't we just take our wedding photos doing the things that we love, that make us love each other.
But I also love that part of your story is that you were friends with benefits.
Yes.
So can we get into that? Because I think a lot of us either who maybe are in relationships and navigating that to getting married, or are single and you put friends with benefits in this bucket. I don't think you ever see that as someone you're going to marry. Tell us about that journey for you.
Yeah, I think it was just about us. We came into this relationship, surprisingly, both very, very good at communication. My partner, I would say in many ways, is like a master at conflict resolution and also just really clear at expectation management. So we both came in really managing expectations. We connected physically. Both of us were coming out of a relationship. And to be honest, at the time, like, my life was in such a turmoil. Connections and love wasn't really like a part of what my plan was. But healthy intimacy is taking one step with somebody, feeling safe, being like, okay, are you cool? Am I cool? Let's take a step forward.
Oh.
And then another step forward. And without even knowing it, that's what we were doing. We didn't like subconsciously say, because it really wasn't until, to be honest with you, we moved in together that we were like, we should call this something.
Before you moved in together, you didn't think it was going to be called anything at that point?
No, because he kind of moved in like, you know, it was like his roommate was moving and he was like, oh, I need somewhere to stay. I'm like, stay with me. And he was like, no. He's like, you know, you're my friends with benefits. This is like 6 months in. And
oh,
I was
like,
we have a great time together. And then he came and we had an amazing 2 weeks. I was like, I don't want you to leave. I think you should stay. And at that point, we're like, okay, let's figure out what this is and make it more official.
I have a thought How do you guys break down heteronormative gender roles? Because I feel like you have a very unconventional relationship, which is beautiful. But with that comes with, especially kind of not being woke, but kind of breaking down the things that society has said, oh, for hetero relationships, it's supposed to be like this, and it looks like this. How do you guys break that down and keeping it kind of fresh and open to the possibility of growth?
Here's the thing. Tradition, it has its place. Tradition is important. It tells us every December 25th what to do, every Halloween what to do. And so same thing with relationships, like tradition and customs, they're important because they give you an avenue to drive down. Now if you want to break free from that, it's a lot of work. You have to be good at communication, you have to manage expectations, you have to talk a lot. And so I think for us, we just came into that already being those people and aligned together. The traditions just didn't make sense because
it just felt easy.
I
love how she literally just realized. She's like, man, I do have an easy relationship.
Oh, I have a hella easy relationship. I really do.
I'm trying to take notes, but I have to like listen and keep up with this interview. I'm like, communication, not having expectations.
I mean, you say it's easy though, but is there moments where it is rough? Because it now, it's not like you're selling a
perfect
relationship.
Well, let me ask you this. How hard is this job?
It's very hard.
But there's like a flow to it too. We have a Zen flow chemistry.
Yeah.
I guess if I came to you and I asked you how's your job and you're like, it is challenging, it's hard, it's not what it seems, I'd be like, probably get a different job. You know what I mean? Like, you should love your job first and feel in flow. There should be challenges. Challenges are a healthy part of that. Yeah. But if you've done the work and you have positioned yourself in the right career, there should be a joy to it. And the challenges shouldn't be like what hallmarks that experience. And so, mind you too, I've been in this space for 13 years.
Yeah.
So I always like, I hate the whole old adage of like, communication is key in relationships. But no one says like, what do you say?
What's the dialogue?
That's true.
Wait, what does that mean? All right, Shan Booty is here, sexologist. She also has a book coming out July 23rd. It's called The Game of Desire, 5 Surprising Secrets to Dating with Dominance and Getting What You Want. So what do you, when you talk about communication in a relationship, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's understanding how you, for example, if I asked you how your internet works, you might be like, oh, the modem and the router.
Yo, Shan has a metaphor for everything, and I am living for it. I'm like, write a book of metaphors.
Yes, metaphors.
Because I think it's like what drives me nuts, and what my book is about, is that there are all these things that we know. If you want to get good at basketball, here's things you have to do. If you want to know how to work your internet, you have to understand the language and be able to explain that to others. But when it comes to ourself and love and connections, we throw all that out the window.
I agree.
And so we don't even know who we are.
Yeah, and why do you think that is? Why do we become the last priority for what's the most important thing in our lives, which is ourselves and our most intimate relationships?
It's not taught anywhere, right? It's not taught in school. It's kind of the same reason why we never learn about credit cards in school, even though we're all going to get one.
We never learn
about like even basic stuff. When you're in grade one and your best friend leaves, how do you manage that loss? When you get a little older and you like your crush and they don't like you back, when you get angry, you know, how do you manage that? We don't teach these things in school. So emotional intimacy and emotional intelligence is pretty much all on us to figure out. And a lot of people are not figuring out. And what I think we're doing now in 2019 is we keep improving the car. You know, the vehicle in which we make connections a la dating apps is getting faster and bigger and more souped up, but people still don't know how to drive.
Yeah, the roads are maybe getting nicer. And there's like more innovative stop signs.
Not here in LA.
But like, yeah,
the roads
our cars
are still trash.
There's a lot of potholes.
So with you, with this job title of yours, being a sexologist and helping so many people with the platform that you've grown, was there ever a moment that hit you hard where you felt like you got it like wrong and you were like, well, how do I not make that same mistake in learning from my mistakes?
Hex, yeah.
Yeah.
My whole practice is selfish. It's really because I need the information. I started studying sex at 19 because my sex life was awful and consistently bad experience. I'm like, this can't be it. I started going into relationships at around age 27 because I was in the worst relationship of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally have never been so sad, so defeated. And it was years of that. And my life was a reflection of that relationship. So every time that I've like increased my knowledge or increased my repertoire of what I do, it's because I needed that information for myself. And when I found it, I'm like, everyone should know this. Everyone should have access to this. This has changed everything in my life.
All right, I have so many. All right, I was going to say.
The book, right?
Yeah, that's the Game of Desire.
About.
It says you put the woman in the driver's seat in the dating realm. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, so I casted in LA. I got 250 responses. I chose the best 6 ones. Actually, Courtney's sitting here today. She's one of the women in the book.
Hello, Courtney.
Courtney's a part of this. She came to visit me here. So I was looking for women who were awesome in their own right. We all have that friend. They have their lives together, but the dating space and the connection space is consistently not clicking for them. And so I was like, okay, you're not alone and it's not your fault.
Yeah.
You haven't been taught this before. You didn't know it. And maybe you didn't have parents who were great connectors. So you didn't learn serendipitously. Maybe you were bullied in school. And so you developed defense mechanisms that are stopping you.
And was that women and men, or was it because
just women?
Is there another side to that though? Because obviously with relationships, we talk a lot about the women's side, and that was like Cher's question. But what about men? And
where do they take
Well, this was inspired by actually The Game by Neil Strauss.
Oh, I know Neil Strauss.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I've known him since I was 18.
Yes, we know this about each other.
I think we knew this. And
we talked
about this. Did we connect
all
the time? All right, we'll figure it out.
So
smart. That's You're a smart, smart lady, because that went viral. This girl, this lady's smart.
Yeah.
Jan is smart.
That's a multi-million dollar industry that exists. And it really is for dudes who, like, if you feel like you're left out of the narrative of you just meet people, you just know, and you're the person, you just put yourself out there, and people have been just doing that and getting no results, that's when you go to pickup artistry, and they teach you step by step, here's how you make connections. The problem with pickup artistry, though, it's a lot of, like, it's a lot of whipped cream on doo-doo. You know what I mean? It's not
just trying to make something gross look good.
You
got to
work on yourself first.
Yeah.
If you don't know who you are at the core, what you have to offer, if you haven't worked on your faults, all of the psychological tricks you put on top of it, you're just tricking people into liking someone who doesn't like themselves.
So what from this book, what's the woman's version of the game, which is the game of desire? But like before we wrap things up, like what do women need to know right now?
I mean, it's 5 phases. It's know, it's change, it's learn, it's practice, it's be. That's how you get good at making connections and dating. So phase 1, know, is actually for free right now on my website. You can do a 2-hour workbook on thegameofdesire.com/workbook. You're going to get to know yourself really good, and that should be the start of your game.
Oh, I need this. I'm single now. I could be a yeah, we could talk about that.
Yeah, that's happened.
I could be a focus group for you. I'll start from the beginning. Well, I want to start from the bottom, and then
that was a really in-depth relationship, Shira.
I'm interested also in kind of like the intersections when it comes to dating, like being obviously a woman of color and in kind of navigating that, because I feel like it can be different for different spaces and at different demographics.
And that's why I used 6 women. It wasn't just me and me saying, this is what worked for me as a light-skinned girl with curly hair, and you know, it'll work for you. That's why I had women who I worked through the program, and trust me, I learned a lot through that experience. So the book is half story, half self-help, and I think it's a read, y'all.
I'm so excited. Shan Booty, thank you so much for being here again. The book, The Game of Desire, goes on sale July 23rd. I'm sure that it's pre-sale and all that. Where can people find out more?
TheGameOfDesire.com, honey.
And do the workbooks.
Do the workbooks.
Take action in your life.
You're going to have to come back for our question of the day. Because our question of the days are normally like very relationship oriented. We'll have to get you back or like call it or something to give us
your 2 cents. We've been trying. I'm glad we made this happen.
I know.
Yeah. Shira, I need you a personal catch up.
You are the object of my desire.
Yes.
I love you.
She's amazing. All right. Coming up, we continue with relationship convos. What do you do when you and your partner have different sexual desires? Our favorite therapist, Sam Garanzini and Alapaki Yee from the Gay Couples Institute, will be helping us out on Hear Me Out Tuesdays.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So you're into kink, but your partner isn't. You want a threesome, but your partner doesn't want one. Today we're going to show you how to navigate different sexual desires within a relationship without feeling bad about yourself and your values. It's Hear Me Out Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And our favorite therapists are here as always, Sam Garanzini and Alapaki Yee from the Gay Couples Institute. Welcome back.
Oh, boy. We're going to talk about sex on a Tuesday afternoon.
Bring it.
I think that's normal for me.
I mean, every hour of the day, I'm down for it. Okay.
All righty. Here we go.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this, the importance of talking about this issue about sexual desires in a relationship, because I think it's something we actually don't overtly talk about, right? Even though there might be that issue and that, you know, those different positions that people have in a relationship.
Exactly. So I think a lot of this, what we know, this has to do with a lot about our culture here in America. And we can't forget that this is actually a relatively young country. It's only about 250 years old, and it was founded by a group of very religious people and who are trying to get away from another culture that was known to not necessarily be very sexually expressive, the English culture. So when this has been studied across the globe, when you look at different cultures, there's Americans and the English culture rank toward the back of the whole thing as far as the number of times that we touch each other in an intimate relationship in an average day. And a lot of that blends over also into how we talk or the number of times that we talk about sex. You'll find that we're not a culture that really talks a lot about sex either. So it's most of the studies about sex and sexuality, it trace back a lot of our attitude toward our founding fathers, if you will, and how we feel about sex.
Wow, we just got a history lesson about sex.
Pretty much.
Well, after this, we're going to be looking at how different sexual desires can be a deal breaker and how to deal with that. It's Hear Me Out Tuesdays. We'll be back right after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's Hear Me Out Tuesdays again with Sam Garanzini and Alipaki Yee from the Gay Couples Institute. We're looking about how to deal with different sexual desires when you're in a relationship. If you're into different things, if you want things, either one person wants more of those things versus another person, how you deal with that. So guys, specifically, I guess, are differing sexual desires a deal breaker?
They're absolutely not. And I guess what I was saying before is I really want to say this is really a systemic issue, and to take the shame and the pressure that a lot of people feel when they're just not having a lot of sex in their relationship. Is it a deal breaker? Absolutely not. And there's things that we see from couples who last decades or more and what they're doing to keep their sex lives alive. It's really in the how they go about it and how they address it.
Yeah, do you think that sometimes when you start off the relationship, the dynamic, obviously everything's really hot and heavy and you have amazing chemistry, but there's something to be said about that and then that like setting the bar really high and then ultimately becomes like more of an infatuation relationship. Do you see any studies around that versus maybe when the relationship starts and there's a bit more of a grounded vibe to it and you're going into it more slowly versus like hot and heavy?
You know, so I think it really comes down to, for the hot and heavy people, how does it look about 2 or 3 months into it after the brain settles down, after things recalibrate to normal?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any long studies about how it started out and how it finished. What we really do know is that couples that talk a lot about sex have it. And I have never seen in my clinical practice where I've sat across from two people and they want to improve their sex lives. And I say, how much do you talk about sex? And they say, oh, we talk about it all the time. We just don't have it. I've never had that happen. They always say, we don't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
And that's usually the first and most important thing that needs to happen.
So the interesting thing for me is I feel like a lot of this, if you are dating, you kind of find, especially if you're sexually active while you're dating, you kind of figure out each other's sexual preferences. Is there any reason why, I guess, or maybe the question is, should you find that out before getting into a relationship with him, or is it just a part of the process?
I think it's a part of the process. We say two things in this country, that sex is so important, you should wait until you get married. And sex is so important, you should only have it with one person. And so ultimately, both of them say, hold off on talking about sex, hold off on having sex. And I think as you're dating, being sexually active with that person and finding if you're sexually compatible is very important. So talk about sex often and have it with someone. We hear from a lot of our couples, should I wait? There's this magical number or months they put into the relationship before having sex. And I would say if it's mutually agreeable and the chemistry is there, have sex.
So, yeah.
Safe sex.
Yeah,
safe. Safe, but and very fun sex.
We talked about how it's not a deal breaker, but I do hear a lot of people around me or friends that do talk about, and even in my own experience, the lack of intimacy and lack of sex. And even though we did talk about it,
yeah,
it became an issue where I felt like I wanted something different maybe than, the priorities that I had were maybe different than my partner's. So can you talk about how you deal with that? And at what point do you say, well, maybe we're just into different things and want different things?
No, you're exactly right. It can be a deal breaker. What you want to be looking for is you want to say, have I tried everything else prior to just breaking it off? But it absolutely can be a deal breaker. What we want, at least you do know. What I would like to encourage people, though, is you want to, when I say you want to do everything you can, what you really want to do is find something that you both do like. A lot of people emphasize, like, well, I don't like bottoming. I don't like topping. Well, I don't like that. I don't like this. And you want to talk about, well, here's what I do like. Here's what I am willing to try in the affirmative. And it's about trying new things with your partner and taking yourself outside of your comfort zone. That's what we really see with the couples that last decades and say, hey, yeah, you know, we've been through ups and downs, but we have a great sex life.
So what about the kinks that are considered, even though we don't judge, but like more out there for maybe some people that are like more into vanilla?
You're asking them to tell us?
No. I said, what do you do if you're into a kink that is outside of the box for your partner and they've been very clear that they don't want to do that, but it's like then that feels like you're restricting yourself. How do you deal with that?
So we see couples take this in any number of directions. What doesn't work for people is when they just don't talk about it, and then they start to unilaterally take it on. You know, they start basically having an affair, they start experimenting, and they kind of cut that side of themselves out and out of display from their partner, maybe out of shame or whatever else. And that's really the wrong direction. That's not part of being in a partnership. You should be able to bring anything to that person and say, hey, here's what I kind of want to try. What of it would you be supportive of? And what we would see is the partner would say, well, you know, I'm not willing to go, you know, and do all of what you're saying, but I am willing to support you in X, Y, or Z. So let's try that and see how far we do get. They really work on keeping it in the affirmative.
Yeah, you really need to just know what you're fighting for in the end, because I think if it's worthwhile, you'll work through these things, and if it's not, you won't. Anything will be a difficult and a challenge. What's the takeaway here? Where can people find out more?
So we have numerous articles about sex and sexuality and how to keep your sex life great long term at gaycouplesinstitute.org. Take a look at our blog or just click start here if you want to start to talk with one of our professionals that can guide you through exactly how to implement some of these things in your life, whether you're single or in a relationship.
Love it. Well, Sam Garanzini Alapeki from the Gay Couples Institute, as always, thanks for joining us on our weekly segment we do with you guys called Hear Me Out Tuesdays.
Yeah, we love it. We will see you next week.
Yes, definitely. So coming
Sounds
up.
Good, guys.
Yeah, have a great night. So coming up, we've got our What's Trending in the News top of the hour. Also, in 20 minutes, our question of the day, is it a turn on or a turn off when dating someone who is obsessed with their pet? You can give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Here's what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. Rose Green, one of Los Angeles's most prominent LGBT plus rights advocates, has died from bone cancer at the age of 72.
Green, very sad.
Yeah, Green was the driving force behind one of the biggest HIV fundraising events in the U.S., a 500-mile bike ride that last year raised a record-breaking $16.6 million. She died of bone cancer on July 11th, according to Lori L. Jean, CEO of the LA LGBT Center. And Jean said this in a statement. Today, the center joins our community in mourning the loss of a true warrior in the fight for LGBT equality, health, and happiness. Today, the center lauds this tireless champion of the oppressed, this extraordinary, amazing, powerful, hilarious, and loving woman. May she rest in peace. Now, today is also the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11th launch. For some, the new generation might not know what the Apollo 11 mission was. 50 years ago today, it began its voyage into American history, and with a rocket carrying astronauts Neil Armstrong, Edwin Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins, at launch from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida at 9:32 a.m. on July 16th, 1969. And just 4 days later, the momentous occasion occurred. A man first set his foot on the moon. The first man on the moon. The moon mission was a milestone in human history and is always remembered, including, it seems, there's always movies that bring it back. Every year there's like a new moon man movie.
The way I remember that date is from an old Disney Channel show called Even Stevens, and it was like a musical. Wish he went to the moon in 1969. I remember that entire thing. So that's how I remember that date always for the remainder of time.
I've met Buzz Aldrin before. He's pretty incredible.
Did you have to up one?
Yeah. So the next one that maybe we'll witness, we've witnessed the Mars rover landing on Mars, you know, Curiosity, that little machine. But hopefully we'll witness
the robot.
Yeah, the robot. Mars Curiosity rover. But
that robot works way too hard to just be some little hunk of a machine. Are you kidding me?
He's more than
me?
That. Hopefully, you know, next for us, I think seeing people go to the moon and Mars in terms of like possibly living there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the regular missions to space. Like you can just buy a ticket. You know, Elon Musk and all those Virgin people are doing that. Virgin, Richard Branson people.
I just really saw a line of virgins.
Of virgins? No, I meant, like Richard Branson, like those types. All of them are creating these ideas to get us into space.
Why are they virgins, though?
Because Richard Branson owns a company called Virgin.
Oh, God. I didn't know that. I was confused.
All right, good. I clarified.
First of all, you're very
you.
High level. Like you
I'm
act
so
like
high
you're
brow.
Talking about like no. like we're in Silicon Valley or something. This is regular radio, Shira, with regular people.
That's why you're here to ground me.
This isn't a TED talk.
You're here to take me from the moon and bring me back down to Earth.
Oh, that's gonna take a lot more than that.
That was what's trending in the news, top of the hour, right here on Let's Go There. By the way, I was going to talk about the conspiracy theory that people think it actually never happened.
Oh, well, yeah, that is a thing where people feel like it's just a faked situation, like other countries and things like that.
They had a green screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a weird moment. I feel like, I don't even feel like technology would have been that advanced back in the day for them to have like,
just like it would have been a way to get America to come together because of the war and all this tension. Like, let's just put a man on the moon.
Oh, that's the conspiracy.
There's a lot of ones. Yeah, there's a lot of different ones. Or like to over
that.
If yeah, there's always a way to overshadow something else or to put attention on something else the government doesn't want you to take notice
that's
of.
That's a weird one. I don't see how anyone could have a conspiracy for landing
just
on the moon.
Google it.
That's wild.
There's a
dark, I love a good conspiracy.
Deep, dark hole.
But from there's a lot of amazing stories. I mean, the one that Taraji P. Henson, she starred in, where she was in that movie about the black women that were actually working at NASA and were a part of the reason why, you know, this landing on the moon even happened in the first place.
All because of women.
Hidden Figures back in 2016, all because of women and all because of black women.
Exactly. Okay, now we're getting into our question of the day. Is it a turn on or a turn off when you're dating someone who's obsessed with their pet?
Oh.
Give us a call right now, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. And yeah, it happens.
Why'd you pause like that?
Because I was thinking about my life. I was contemplating. Yeah, it happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, same, actually. I was recently, hopefully they're not listening. I was recently.
And if you're listening, give us a call. Let us know how you really feel about your dog.
Not. I was recently kind of, you know, talking to someone and. Hey, there's a level, like, I love my dog. Everyone knows I have a small little Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu?
Yeah, I don't want to say the word. I don't want to sound like...
It's a dog's...
Well, I also didn't want... It could also sound like a curse word.
Okay.
I have a small one, and she is everything to me. I love her so much. But there's a line where this person that I was kind of talking to, I mean, takes their dog everywhere, like includes them in the text messages, like XOXO, that person, and the dog's name. Like, my thing is, it got to a point where I was like, okay, if we were to ever have sex, you're gonna have to put her in the other room because
that's
I don't
her.
Want. Well, the dog is. I just don't want.
I think
you never know. I could be like, yeah, she was. I could be dating a woman. You never know. No, I couldn't actually.
So, all right, I'm not against people having their dogs around. But including, yeah, maybe it gets a bit extreme, including them in text messages like, love me and Bunny.
Yes, like that is the, like that is a little intense. But I think it's cute because it also kind of maybe showcases like a responsibility level that's amazing. But then what's the balance of it? Like, I don't need to know every little thing about your dog. And then also, if we were to like actually pursue a relationship, like I don't want my dog sleeping in the bed with me. Like Kyoka does not sleep in the bed with me. And if she does, she's very disrespectful where she like takes up the entire king size bed.
Dog with my ex. And it became very clear who was the priority in the household. Not only did Bentley sleep in bed with us, but it became clear that he was also going to not allow us to have any sort of sex life.
Yep. Yeah.
And we would have to put him in his cage because he would just want to be with us. And you say you do it with your dog there.
I do it. She goes to bed. So I'll tell my dog to go to bed and she goes to bed and then she'll just fall asleep. She's that type of girl.
No.
So she knows when grown folks are having a good time, I am a child and I stay in my child's place.
See, Bentley's a golden retriever. Like he's like human, part human. So he's like staring at us and watching us. It's just
wasn't there a moment where he like tried to lick something?
And he licks, yeah. He tries to get involved. Like literally.
That is some nastiness.
It's weird. So I'm like, put him in a cage. But then it's hard when someone's so close to the dog, they feel bad. The dog might cry. Oh, I feel bad leaving him in the cage.
No, but
and
that's
then it
also
ruins
training.
The moment.
That's training. Because dogs are like when I first got my dog, I remember my vet was like, she has the mind capacity of a toddler. She will try you if you allow her to. You can't. You have to parent them. So you have to kind of train them in a way to like understand that who's the adult and who's not the adult.
And,
you know?
Yeah. And then it became also an issue with traveling, right? Like
yeah.
Traveling not for work. When it came to traveling, if we wanted to ever travel as a couple,
yeah.
It became like, well, I need to leave the dog. I don't.
Are getting
do
the first class ticket so you're being at your big.
You have to bring the dog. I'm like, no, this is for us.
Yeah.
This is a trip. We can't go to like Peru and bring our dog or Australia and bring the dog.
You know, I get it because pets are such like, they have such like a soft spot, you know, they have a soft spot in our hearts. But it's just, how do you balance that without being so obsessive and wanting to be like, you're kind of like being a third wheel to your own dog or your own pet?
Yeah, you're the third wheel. Like when the person comes home, who are they kissing first?
Because your ex would most definitely kiss Bentley before.
Yeah. Who are they getting gifts for first? Have you gotten any gifts lately? Or is the animal getting gifts? Are you, are they worried about you when you're sick? Or these are things to ask yourself. They could be deal breakers, just saying. All right, let's look at the other side, though, of dating someone who's into their dog. Okay, this is from Pride.com, who said 6 reasons to date a guy who's obsessed with his dog. And this is true. This is the other side of it, where if you're going to look at the devil's advocate, a double-edged sword, the glass half full, you know, the drill. They have their stuff together. If someone is obsessed with their dog or their animal, I keep saying dog, but their animal overall, they're taking care. They're very...
Cats' lives matter, too.
Yes. We're not going to discriminate here.
I hate cats, though. Not even going to lie to you.
Did you really need to say that?
I do. I do not like cats. They ain't got no attitude.
But the fact is, if someone's like a good caretaker of anything,
right,
a human
right.
or an
that
animal,
matters.
That means they're pretty like probably responsible in their life. They've got their stuff together.
Yes.
They're clearly organized enough to take care of another living being than they could possibly take care of you.
And they got some money, too, because it's expensive to have
yes.
a dog, especially a dog. It's so expensive.
So cuddling. If you're into cuddling, I guess if you're dating someone with a pet and they're obsessed with them, you know you'll have some good cuddles in your future.
Maybe not, because they'll be too busy cuddling the dog.
At least you'll have like
a thruple.
A thruple. Also baby talk. You know, sometimes, you like baby talk in relationship. Well, you definitely know you're going to be getting maybe some baby talk. If you know your person can baby talk an animal, they can probably baby talk you.
But is there a line to too much baby talk? Like, isn't it just like, are you serious? Do you even know the English language at this point?
That is the English language, but you mean...
No,
that,
baby yeah. talking is not the English language. You're a little baby.
Oh, you talk to babies like that? I talk to them at least high voice, but with real words. Like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, no, look at you. You're a little cute one.
Oh, Clearly our humanity is at stake.
When you have, when you're in a relationship with an animal, at least you know you'll be going out a lot, maybe walks to parks or just outdoors. You're not going to be staying inside unless you have a cat. But I met someone who had a cat that they used to walk and bring on a leash. So that happens too.
Really? That's a good cat if that cat is like okay with being on a leash.
Yeah. And lastly, and I think this, how someone you're with treats their mom and their pet says a lot about them. You know they'll treat you well if they treat their mom and their pet well. Both of those things.
I would hope they would treat me just a little bit better than the pet, but I get it.
Sometimes you have to work towards that.
You gotta earn that type of trust.
Again, our question of the day is it a turn on or a turn off when dating someone obsessed with their pet? What has been your experience? 833-77-CALL-Q is our number. 833-772-2557. Now let's go to social media.
Yeah, just says, as long as the pet is in another room when getting romantic, to most people, their pet's acceptance of someone can make or break a relationship. That is very true. If your dog or your cat gets a bad vibe off of someone new, that means it's not okay. You got some trouble in the water, honey.
They're looking out for you more than anyone, really.
Someone said... Bob said, not sure I understand the question. I couldn't imagine dating someone who wasn't upset with her pet. And if she wasn't obsessed with her pet, she probably wouldn't like me anyway since I'm obsessed with mine.
Oh, so too. Yeah, that's true.
That's gross.
Two obsessive people come together
for
really one big healthy
dynamic.
That
sounds very toxic. Two obsessive people together. What else are they obsessive over? Dana says, someone who loves and cares for their pet is a turn on. Someone who idolizes their pet, takes it everywhere, dresses it up, etc. Not so much.
That is so true. An obsession versus an idolizing.
Yeah.
And then also, if they let them do anything they want, it's kind of a turn off because you're like, are you going to do this with kids?
Girl,
like how you raise your...
That is interesting.
That is
interesting that Shira Lazar is saying that. When we bought out the... When we talk about the training aspect of Bentley...
My dog, Bentley, yeah.
Shira's dog doesn't know even the word training.
That's not... Yeah.
I mean, she's trained him, but he still...
He knows how to do high fives.
Oh, good. But he still doesn't know how to, like, not, like, hop up on someone and, like, try to jump. He feels like...
He's learning.
He acts like he's, like, a 20-pound anyway. Dog, and he's, like, 45 pounds.
But so that brought... That did make me feel like, okay, seeing how my ex is with Bentley, he is so sweet, actually. He's a better dog dad than I am, a dog mom. But then I was like, God, there's no discipline. Like, where's the discipline? They're like best buddies, literally. Like, he talks to them like a human. So is that what this person's going to do with a child?
So true.
Who's going to lay down the law? That's what I'm talking about. Okay, our question of the day continues on social media. You can always hit us up at We Are Channel Q. We've got our Yaz Queen of the day after this. A gay teen who is going viral for performing a stunning death drop at his graduation. That's coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's time for our Yaz Queen of the day.
Yaz Queen.
So this teen is going viral for bringing what any teen drag queen would do to a graduation, a death drop. That was really dramatic. Brandon Austin, who performs as Sophia Stardust, just graduated from West Kent College near London, England. He told GayStar News that he noticed most of his theater classmates were doing more than walking across the stage. They were adding bows or waving to the crowd. So he said to his friends, how iconic would it be if I did a death drop? All of my friends were into it. So when I got up there and all my friends were cheering, I just thought, let's do it. So then the crowd screamed and cheered. Everyone was also so shocked. It was amazing. So now that video, that moment has been viewed over 3 million times. And he's now getting interviewed by all these places and getting the attention he deserves. He said he started doing dance as a young child and realized that he was gay when he was 9 or 10. He said, I never came out. I wasn't badly bullied as such. People would tease, saying to me, you're gay and we know it. It can really destroy your confidence. And he said, when I went to college and I saw openly gay people for the first time, I was overwhelmed. Now he's been doing drag ever since he was pulled on stage at a drag show and lip-synced with 3 other people. So now I'm sure we'll see more of him. I mean, isn't Drag Race going to the UK now?
Yes.
So maybe he'll be appearing there.
Yes,
who knows?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, they already filmed it.
Oh, maybe for the next season.
But yes, super, super excited. Hopefully we get to, there's some way to find some way to see that.
And we've actually got a very special addition to our Yas Queen of the Day, someone that you love.
Oh, Beyonce!
Yes.
Yeah, so the Lion King promotion, of course, has been nonstop and been cray-cray, and Beyonce just released a music video for the song that is the title song of the sound, well, of the soundtrack and all that stuff, Spirit, and it is absolutely beautiful, and there's a special happening tonight. If you haven't seen it, if you're on the East Coast, you've probably already seen it. It's called The Lion King, Can You Feel the Love Tonight. It's coming on. I'm going to watch it as soon as I get home, but I just saw the video during our commercial break, and it was beautiful and stunning.
Out.
And I can't imagine not being a fan of Beyonce. Like, imagine.
He was not even noticing anything happening.
No, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
His blinders were on, his Beyonce blinders.
Nothing else matters. So if you haven't seen it, I'm telling you, the visuals are stunning, and Blue Ivy makes a beautiful appearance, and it's just a gorgeous moment, a mother and daughter moment. So
yeah, I'm excited to check it out. That was our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yes!
If you want to have us feature someone who deserves a Yas Queen of the Day, just hit us up on social media.
Do you think you could do a death drop, by the way?
Like there's one like the, you do the splits and drop, right?
No.
Oh, no, the booty drop. How does it look like? What does it look like?
We should move on.
I thought it was the booty drop.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It is okay. We should just move on. It's really, in the ballroom scene, it's called a dip, but when on RuPaul's Drag Race and the phenom that it is, it's kind of the real title of it is called a dip, but a death drop is like when you fall back one leg forward, you fall back on your back with one leg bent.
But some people do it with, I'm watching this. Okay, yes.
No, everyone does a death drop.
It just looks like they're like some of them are falling. This guy did it in a very good
way. We are
an
educational show.
Yes, for everyone. For giving everyone a voice, including the noobs. Okay, we've got Dr. Chris from Loveline joining us after this, so stay tuned. Yes, we are wrapping things up right now with Dr. Chris from Loveline. What's going on?
Yo, just hanging out.
Just hanging out. So our question of the
day. Talking about the anxiety around jury duty, yo.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
It's your civic duty if you believe in civics.
I was like, honestly, I was afraid to talk about it because I was like, oh my God, they'll hear me. They'll see my tweet. They'll see everything.
Oh, you're not allowed to take videos or pictures, but in the hallway I did and was posting it on my IG.
Oh,
and I was like, I just got fined, sent home. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. But I'm all about, civil acts of disobedience.
Rebel. So you're a rebel.
I am. Built a career on it.
Yes. So our question of the day, we always love
my book. It's called Rebel
you.
Love. What do you expect?
Wow. Really? I just keep trying to introduce this part of this segment.
How's it feel to always be interrupted?
Oh.
Wow. I was joking. It was too good. No, it was just too good. It was just too good. It was too good of a moment. I didn't actually mean it.
Waiting for you guys to stop.
We're done.
Our cue of the day was, are you turned on or turned off by people that are obsessed with their pet?
Oh, this is a good one for me. Brings up a lot.
Yeah.
Are you triggered by it?
I am, because I've been through this for different ways. I'm glad you love your dog. That is awesome.
Say it.
But I'm not dating your dog. I'm dating you.
Yes. Say it.
Do not bring your dog on the first 15 to 20 dates.
Oh.
I want attention on me. Mm. I like a lot of attention. I don't want you to be like, oh, what are you eating? What's in your mouth? Oh, do you need to pee? Oh, he needs some water. Oh, he knocked something over. I'm going to go home because it looks like you're on a date with your dog, not with me.
Mm-hmm.
So don't bring your kids. Don't bring your dog.
Oh, wow. Adding kids to this. Okay.
It's kind of like a kid, though. Yeah.
And as a cat owner, since I'm on my, I find it offensive that people put down cats.
We did that.
Like, cats are a deal breaker. Really? Dogs are a deal breaker.
Well, I did say I'm not a fan of cats. I'm a kitten person. Like, if once they turn into a cat, then you gotta go.
Oh, shit.
Then it's a short term
relationship. Cats, what I'm talking
kittens
about.
Are so cute, but when they're cats and they come with attitudes, I'm done.
I love dogs. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't like dog owners because they don't know how to act right in public.
Okay. So blame it on the owner.
I tend to get the dogs blamed, but it's the owner. They really,
Why is it always dog owners that are obsessed with their pet versus cat owners not being obsessed?
Because cats won't really let you, right?
Yeah,
they have that, that sassiness. They have a little bit of a boundary.
Independence.
They won't let you bring them everywhere.
Dogs are blindly loyal.
That's right.
So they will, like, let you
But climb on your back.
Yeah.
My cat's not coming with me anywhere. Doesn't want to go, not interested in my life.
So they can't ruin a relationship necessarily. They can't. I mean, wait, cats. Wait.
Apparently, Ryan thinks so.
Cats can because one, they cough up those things.
There are also
be
a
gross.
Lot of people are really allergic.
I'm allergic.
Okay.
And really? I didn't
sometimes
know that.
They're either very friendly or you try to be sweet with them and they're like. Meow.
My cat's very sweet.
And then like
she's friendly and sweet and curious.
Yeah. See, I don't like the scratching thing. Yeah.
She doesn't scratch.
That's good. That's good.
Okay. What's coming up on Loveline?
We have Rude Jude from Sirius XM Shade 45 M&M's.
Slay.
Station.
That's yeah. exciting.
He's the second top show on Sirius.
It's like
Howard
radio
Stern.
Shows. Like it's like a crossover.
I'll tell you. You guys want to stick around for this one because oh. I was on his show, and let's just say Sirius doesn't have any censors.
Okay.
And this
is,
they don't.
This guy is just like a Howard Stern in that he goes there.
Is he straight?
He is. He's
is
single
he
too.
Is he in the green room right now?
He's a sexy man.
Is he in the green room?
I'll set you up.
Is he in the green
He's
room?
He's a handful. Hope you're ready.
I hope you're ready.
You guys don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah, I hope you're ready.
Okay.
I'll set you up.
Oh my
he's
God.
He's a great guy. Really smart, really sweet.
Does he live in LA?
He's a handful though. Sure does.
Okay. Is he Jewish? No.
Yes, I think he might
no!
be. It's possible.
Oh my gosh.
That's Shira's groceries list.
That's right.
It's her groceries list.
No, I'm not.
Maybe he'll get you a show on Sirius.
Chris.
I'm kidding.
Come on.
I kid.
Wow, a lot
kid.
Of drags happening today. It's I only
kid.
Tuesday.
I kid. Is it really only Tuesday?
Okay.
Oh, we have a whole week to get there.
Stay tuned for Loveline.
That's right.
Dr. Chris.
Stick around. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Right after this show. Oh. Coming up on our show tomorrow, right here on Channel Q.
Yes.
We have someone from one of your favorite shows coming on.
Yeah, Tales of the City. It is Garcia. They are a trans-binary actor and activist and had one of my favorite storylines in the show. So if you're a huge fan of the Netflix show, Tales of the City, please listen up tomorrow because they're going to be amazing.
Yeah, we also have the host of this YouTube series where specifically for this one episode we're going to be talking about tomorrow, she revealed the dark side of celebrity-endorsed mega churches and all these anti-LGBTQ+ practices or just like that they're not really practicing what they're preaching. So that's coming up on tomorrow's show. Let's go there with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. I'm just getting distracted now by thinking about the green room. Okay. We are sending you love and light.
And how do you remember to slay?
See you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Have a good full moon, by the way.
Oh,
put out the good
goodness.
Energy. Bye.